Hello, friends. I'm Alex Crocco, and you're listening to the MLB Point Form Podcast. In this exciting hour of baseball news, we'll be covering the major free agent signings of this offseason, as well as our thoughts on some of the deals. Stay tuned.
Worked all week, cleaned up, clean cut, and clean shaved. I got to cover off the 68.
I fired it up and let them... What is going on, friends? I am Alex Crocco, and right next to me is my co-host, John Karasiotis.
How's it going?
Today we're going to be speaking about, like you just heard earlier, some of the major free agent acquisitions by, who knew, the Seattle Mariners.
Oh, boy.
Robinson Cano. Personally, I think he's going to be miserable, but we'll get into that later. We'll also be covering Jacoby Ellsbury going to the Evil Empire, the Yankees outfield, and the Colorado Rockies. Who knew we'd be talking about the Colorado Rockies?
No, not me.
And finally, we'll be covering what we think is the most important, being from Toronto, D'Honor Navarro.
Oh boy, no more J.P. Arencibia.
No more J.P. Arencibia. We'll get into that next. Welcome back. Let's get right into it here with Robinson Cano.
Wow.
Signing a 10-year, $240 million deal with, who knew, the Seattle Mariners.
Well, gave him the most money. That's all that matters to him, apparently.
Apparently, because, I mean, Seattle's a great city, but,
I read yesterday it's the number two ranked city in the state, so it's actually a really nice city to live in, but it's the team that's going to be the problem.
It's the team that's going to give him problems. I mean, when you look at the Seattle Mariners as of right now,
it's not good.
You took the words right out of my mouth. It's not good at all.
90 wins last year, something like that.
And their manager had a stroke.
That explains a lot. Maybe they had a stroke because
could be related to the team. Couldn't be related to the team. I won't make any speculations.
But it does help their lineup quite a bit. Add a couple more pieces. Not a half bad team. I don't mind the signing at all for them. I think
I don't mind the signing either. But I mean, as you mentioned, Cano is an elite Hall of Fame player.
He's the best second baseman in the league right now, not even close. I think
there is. He is, but there's no one else on the Seattle Mariners to help him out.
You got Justin Smoke, maybe.
Justin Smoke.
Seager's a very good player. They have nobody at left field. I don't know who their left fielder is. Right field, Saunders, not that good. They need to add another big bat. Their rotation is okay.
You could very well make the argument that they did add a big bat with Robinson Cano.
They need to add another one, though.
They need to add another big bat. Maybe at the catching position?
They have Zunino, who's a really good prospect. They drafted him top five a couple years ago, so I don't think they're going to make a change there. They need another corner outfield bat, maybe like a Nelson Cruz. I was going to say Granderson, but he went yesterday.
Granderson, and mentioning that, Curtis Granderson signs for 4 years.
$60 million.
$60 million.
I like the deal.
On the other side of the city.
But, yeah.
So that's going to be fun when it comes time for the Subway Series.
Yes. A lot of players exiting New York and a lot of players entering the Yankee system.
And the Yankees are something that we will talk about as well after we are finished with Cano. Now, I'm reading your blog post that you wrote on Cano.
I wrote a couple blogs.
You say here that mostly Yankees fans will say that Cano is in just for the money. And, well of course he is. Of course he's in for the money. Why else would you sign with the Seattle Mariners? And there's something else that I want to point out. You have to remember that Jay-Z is his manager.
Yes, he is now. Not anymore. He dropped Scott Boras, I think, midway through last year, and now it's Jay-Z. So it's a good debut signing for Jay-Z, I think.
Yeah, but wouldn't you think that he would have made a push to Cano to say, hey, come on, stay in New York, come on. But as you know, he made the Yankees hat more famous than a Yankee can.
Yes, he did. But, he can't be biased anymore as an agent. He has to be in it for the money, and that's what he did.
Something interesting that I read today in the paper this morning, on Cano is the Seattle Mariners pay $240 million to him. In the past 5 years combined, they haven't even spent $240 million.
Yeah, it's a big change. It's a good sign to their fans, though. If you're a sign of the Seattle Mariners, you haven't had anything to cheer about since their 116-win season over 10 years ago. So it's a really good sign.
And shown by the that also, the front office makes a statement.
Yes, they make a huge statement. They got to keep adding on more pieces, but it's a huge sign to the fans. It's great to see if you're a Seattle Mariners fan, and they haven't done much in the past few off seasons. They made a few really bad signings. Sean Figgins was horrible, and they've had a really bad ones after that. They've signed Felix Hernandez long term, big money, and now they signed Cano. So it's a long term commitment, which is good.
And I think the first thing they have to do is bolster their pitching staff.
Yes. They have Felix Hernandez and they have Iwakuma, but not much.
But that's it. They have like a number three starter who...
They have Taiwan Walker coming up. And I've heard rumors maybe they go after David Price.
So definitely Cano is going to make a big impact to their lineup.
Yes, massive and impact.
His former club, the New York Yankees, also has been making a really big splash in the offseason.
Yes.
Perhaps their most notable signing being center fielder Jacoby Ellsbury.
Jacoby Ellsbury.
What? Jacoby Ellsbury going from the Boston Red Sox, where he just won a championship, to the New York Yankees.
He's the modern-day Johnny Damon. Babe Ruth.
Yeah, but Babe Ruth got sold to the Yankees for a handful of
Yankees,
cash. And probably
Red Sox to the Yankees. But I don't think Boston wanted to commit that much money to him. They have Jackie Bradley Jr. coming up.
I think they would have, though.
I don't think 7 years, 153
million. Maybe not 7 years, 153 million. I say maybe 4 years.
Yeah, but
a little under 80.
Yes.
But you have to think of it in terms like this. Let's just say 4 years, 75 million. $75 million.
That's a lot of money. But
that's a lot of money.
That's half of 150 million.
Good point. Touche. Touche. I mean, and I guess that's what makes him the most happy, is the money.
Yes.
I'm excited to see him get back to Fenway.
That's going to be...
And the announcer mumble his name.
Well, you know, could he get a cheer? They won the championship with him there. Maybe some of the fans will cheer him, but the majority will boo him. It's going to be bad.
It's going to be bad because he signed with them freely. He didn't get traded.
Yep.
He chose the New York Yankees.
He didn't choose Seattle. He didn't choose any of the other teams. I predicted him to go to Seattle.
I mean, this is gonna do wonders for the New York Yankees in the outfield.
If you look at it, it's Cano. They traded Cano for Ellsbury. It's kind of like a sideways move with the dollar length and everything. So I don't know.
And Jeter's got one more year.
Maybe outfield. I don't know what they're gonna do with A-Rod. The suspension. Teixeira, I don't know. Teixeira is an
A-Rod. If you get me talking about A-Rod, we're gonna be here all night. What else do I have here? Beltran, Carlos Beltran, which I just found out yesterday. Señor Octubre.
Wow, playoff hero.
Playoff hero is right, and perhaps that could get the Yankees to the playoffs.
Well, I still think they need to add more to the rotation. They have Sabathia and Kuroda, and not much after that. So they need to add another pitcher, and then...
But what about Phil Hughes?
He's gone now.
What about his really shitty season?
He's gone now.
Oh, thank God.
But they need a second baseman now, and they just signed Kelly Johnson. I don't know what that's going to do for them.
I don't know what that was about. I heard that, and I looked at
him. He's going to hit 200.
I said, you just signed Ellsbury, and then you thought, you know what? Let's go sign Kelly Johnson.
Yeah, he's not been good the last couple seasons.
He was on the Rays, right?
Yes, last year he was on the Rays, and the year before the Jays.
What do you think of this platoon outfield that the Yankees are going to go with?
Well, right now they have Ellsbury in center, and then... Gardner in left field. Maybe they're going to trade him for a pitcher. I'm not sure. There's been rumors about that. And then they got probably the most expensive bench of all time with Wells, Ichiro, and Soriano playing DH.
Soriano's going to DH. There's no way about it.
And then Ichiro will get some time in right field. Beltran will move to DH. He's older now. He's not going to play 160 games in the field. So they got to save his legs. So they'll be moving around the Ichiro, Soriano, Beltran kind of combination platoon there.
I think that's good though that they're going to move around.
Or they could maybe move Ichiro for a pitcher,
right?
Or I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what they do with Gardner also.
You know what? I like the Yankees this season.
I don't at all, actually. I think
like the Yankees.
I think they're maybe a little bit better than last year, but I still think they're maybe an 85-win team.
I mean, you got to think of it as in they're still in the AL East.
Boston's going to be good. Tampa's going to be good. Baltimore's going to be good. And I think the Jays are going to get better.
The Jays are going to get better, and we'll talk about that a little bit later.
But I don't think they're going to make it. They're not a playoff team right now, but I don't think they're done at all. Any of their moves, I think they have more than a few moves left.
Especially knowing Anthopoulos. And how he is making signings.
Yes, with the Jays.
Last season. My goodness.
It's pretty crazy. We'll see what they do. They've been involved in kind of rumors with David Price also and Jeff Samardzija. But I don't know. We'll see.
I think that would be good for Toronto.
Depends on what they give up. David Price. David Price for sure. But yes. I don't see Tampa trading him in the division. I think you see him going to maybe.
Is he not a free agent? Or does he have 1 year left on his contract?
He has 2 years left.
Okay.
So, you know, it's a good value no matter what you trade, no matter what kind of prospects you trade, you get 2 years of David Price. That's never a bad thing. So I don't know. It's for the Jays, they could do that, or maybe they trade for Jeff Samardzija, but you know, they're gonna get better and the rest of the division is still good. I don't think the Yankees are gonna be as good as people maybe like you or think. I think they're maybe like an 85-win team.
Right. And on the topic of the Toronto Blue Jays, let's jump right into what we've been wanting to talk about for a while.
JP
Aaron Sebia.
Finally.
He gone.
Yes.
Signing a 1 year, 1.8 to 2.2, I don't know what the deal is with that, $1 million deal to sit on the bench.
Well,
behind Giovanni Soto.
He was a highly touted prospect coming up.
Was.
He was, yeah.
Was.
And he still has power. He's going to get his chance in Texas. But he was horrendous last year. He hit.
I mean, I love JP Arencibia. He's a great person. He's done a lot for the city of Toronto. And as a fellow catcher, I respect him.
Yes.
But for lack of a better term, he shit the bed last year.
Yes, he hit 194. That's horrible.
What was his on base percentage again? Oh, I love hearing this.
227.
227.
That's brutal. That's historically bad.
That
I don't
is.
Care how many home runs you hit, and you only hit 21. You have a 227 on base percentage. You're not a starting player in the MLB. And he was a horrible defensive catcher last year.
Remember the opening day with R.A. Dickey?
Yeah, that's why he's not going to be the backup for the Jays. He can't catch a knuckleball.
It's going to be Navarro and Toldy for sure.
And that's better than it was last year. I think Toldy's going to be better.
Speaking of that,
sure.
Deonner Navarro.
Yes. I think it's a good signing.
I think it's a great signing. 2 years, $8 million. 3 years next year and $5 million.
I think JP and CB would have gotten around $2.5 to $3 million arbitration this year and then another raise after that. So it's basically what you would have gotten with JP and CB, that kind of salary. And you have a guy who hit, you know, he's not going to hit 300 this year. Maybe he'll hit 270. He's definitely going to have a higher on base. He has some power. He had 10 home runs last year. But it's a major improvement between JP and CB. And apparently Anthopoulos said people rave about his pitch calling and his game calling and everything, and he's just a good.
We'll see. I mean, we can't really have as high expectations as we did last year, and we all know how that turned out.
Yes, but anything is better than JP and CB at this point. And apparently he's good friends with Matt Garza, who is a free agent right now. So we'll see if that.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yes, that's
Matt
a good
Garza. Fit. One can only fit. Dream. We're going to take a break. We will come back with more news and signings in the world of baseball. Stick around. Welcome back, friendos. In this next segment, we're going to be talking about something that we forgot to talk about when we mentioned the New York Yankees. Their recent signing, new catcher Brian McCann.
Brian McCann, New York Yankees.
5 years, $85 million.
Yep.
I mean, that's a good deal, but personally, I don't think he should have left Atlanta in the first place.
Well, it's all about the money once again. I don't know. Once I don't know who they're going to have catching now, but.
Well, besides the Atlanta Braves, Brian McCann signing with the Yankees bolsters their very, very weak backstop.
Yes, last year they decided to go extremely defensive first with Chris Stewart and whoever they Cervelli and Romine, whoever they threw out there. And obviously they don't want to catch the hits 211 anymore.
Right, and this signing also bolsters their power.
Yes.
Not just their catching, their power as a lineup. Because last year, I have this written down, last year the Yankees hit 144 home runs total.
Yep.
I'm not sure where that places in the league, but it sounds not that great.
And their catchers hit 8 in total, and McCann hit 20 in 100 games last year.
I mean, that speaks enough for itself. And his average wasn't that bad either,
last year was 256, but, you know, years in the past, he's been 270.
If you hit over 250, you're all right.
336 on base percentage. He's a good hitting catcher.
Better than J.P. Arencibia.
Yeah, well, we talked about that already.
Something else about Brian McCann that I really like about him is that he is perhaps the best, aside from maybe Yadier Molina, at managing a pitching staff. He is a very likable guy, according to Chipper Jones. And on his Twitter account a couple weeks ago, he mentioned that he wishes Brian all the best, all that mushy, separated teammate stuff, right? All that garbage, for lack of a better term. But I really like the Brian McCann deal for the most important reason is that he is very, very, very funny. And that
how many incidents did he have last year at home plate attacking a player that
remember that incident with Jose Fernandez
and Carlos
guy hits
Gomez.
His first home run ever in the major leagues. Brian McCann starts chirping him. The bench is clear. All because Brian McCann says later after the game that he took a peek. Took a peek. I'm not sure what that means, but
well, he was.
What, he appreciated his home run a little bit? I mean, the kid, his first home run in the major leagues, on top of being a fantastic pitcher, but that's for another time. In short, Brian McCann is going to be a great addition to the Yankees lineup, and it was a good signing.
Best catcher on the market, so.
Best catcher on the market?
Who's better?
Kaczynski?
I think younger age, everything. I think McCann overall is a better catcher. Yeah.
Anyways, next, we are going to talk about the Doug Fister trade.
Doug Fister. Fister?
Fister? I hardly knew her.
Okay.
The Washington Nationals gave up a bucket of baseballs and a handful of dirt for Doug Fister.
Steve Lombardozzi and two left-handed minor league relief pitchers. That's nothing.
The Tigers got royally screwed with this deal.
Oh, yeah, big time. They lost a very good pitcher.
I mean, Fister had good numbers last year, didn't he?
He had very good numbers, actually.
Didn't he pitch out of the bullpen for some time?
In the playoffs.
Oh, that was wasn't that Purcello that pitched out of the bullpen? Anyway.
I'm not sure, but yeah, he had a 3.67 ERA, 208 innings pitched. That's a very good pitcher. And it's in the American League, too. So he's going to be very good for the Nationals.
Like I said, the Tigers, I don't know what they were thinking.
I don't know. They could have.
Maybe they think that they can shape those prospects in the minor leagues because they need the left-handed pitcher.
Yep.
But at the same time, Doug Fister is not the type of guy that you want to lose for something
no,
like that.
No, not at all. He's a very reliable pitcher. 200 innings. I mean, he had 200 innings last year, 161 the year before, 200 before that, and then 171 before that. That's a constant, you know, very stable relief pitcher. And Alex Anthopoulos even came out and said, you know, he asked about Doug Fister, and they said you don't have the right pieces, and that's kind of puzzling. If you wanted a left-handed relief pitcher, Brett Cecil, the All-Star, that seems like a perfect fit.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know, maybe they wanted to free up some money for other signings, but I don't know. We'll have to see. Maybe Sin Soo Choo is a good fit, and maybe we can get into it. They also saved some money with Prince Fielder trade. We haven't talked about that.
The Prince Fielder trade, sticking with the Tigers.
Yes.
For those of you who don't know, and I don't know why you wouldn't know, but Prince Fielder was traded from the Detroit Tigers to the Texas Rangers for second baseman Ian Kinsler. I like that deal.
For which side do you like it more?
I like it more for the Detroit Tigers.
Really? I like it for Texas a lot more than I like it for Detroit.
Go ahead, explain.
I like that they free up a second base for Jurickson Profar, who's, I don't think, much worse than Ian Kinsler, and he's a lot younger and cheaper. And they can add Prince Fielder in that stadium. He's going to hit 40 home runs. He's going to hit monster shots in right field. And, you know, I think I really like the trade for the Tigers. They need to add another big bat. And they did that, and they don't really lose much at second base.
Something that you and I were talking about earlier was Prince Fielder in Texas.
That's going to be...
You got to think about this for a second. Prince Fielder is, I'm going to go ahead and give him a little bit of breathing room, 240 pounds.
Yeah, something like that.
Let's say.
Yeah.
Either way, the guy is stocky. Mm. You got to think of how hot it is in Texas. It's like, what, 40 degrees?
Oh, well, 100 degrees Fahrenheit around that, 110. I'm not really sure Fahrenheit. But yeah, Celsius around 40 degrees with humidity and everything on a July and August night. So
he's going to be sweating his ass off.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be something to watch.
I mean, back to the logistics of it, you're right, as though as in he they free up some room for Profar to play second base.
Yep.
But my reasoning of why I like it for the Tigers is A, they get rid, I mean, they still owe Prince Fielder money, but they get rid of that massive contract. And like you said earlier, that frees up room to sign Shin-Soo Choo, perhaps.
But they have to do it. They haven't done it, so we can't really say they're going to do it. If I'm looking at the roster right now, with the Fister trade and the Fielder trade,
right,
they're a worse team now than they were at the end of the season. And even adding Joe Nathan, I don't think they're as good as they were last year. So they need to make that kind of Choo splash.
Yeah, but they still didn't have any closing pitching last year.
Yeah, but...
I mean, Jose Valverde, really?
They... Yeah, and Benoit, but...
Yeah, but... You get Joe Nathan in perhaps the prime of his career.
Well, you see, he's kind of older now, but he's a, you know, he's a closer, and but you know, they're paying him $10 million a year. If that's what you're going to spend your money that you saved from Prince Fielder and Fister, that's not. I don't think that's a good, you know, a good swap at all. I think they do need to add kind of like a Shin-Soo Choo or a big bat, like maybe like a Nelson Cruz. I'm not sure, but they have to do something big.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And the Tigers defensively are shaping up quite a bit differently than they did last year.
Oh, yeah, completely differently. Last year they had Prince at first, Infante at second, shortstop. They had Peralta in third base. They have Cabrera. This year they have Cabrera at first, which is a lot better.
I like that better, though. I like Cabrera at first better.
Yeah, he's a horrible third baseman. They have Kinsler at second, who's a lot better than Infante is defensively. Iglesias at shortstop is one of the best defensive shortstops in the game, and Castellanos, they're going to put a third, one of their younger prospects. He's younger. I'm sure he's pretty good defensively. I've never seen him play third base, but I'm guessing it's a lot better than whatever Prince or whatever Miguel Cabrera was out there in third. So,
and especially because for the latter half of the season, he was playing hurt, Cabrera was,
yes,
at third base.
Yes, no and lateral movement, no range, no anything. He was horrible.
I mean, he didn't have any of that anyway. Yeah. But, but when you're a guy like Miguel Cabrera, you have to respect that he has to stay in there at third base, right? Because his bat is so prominent in the Detroit Tigers lineup that even if he is hurt, yep, if you're Jim Leland, I know he's not the manager anymore, but if you're Jim Leland, you ask Miguel Cabrera every day, hey, bud, how you feeling? Are you ready to go? Are you going to play? And it takes a special kind of person, which Miguel Cabrera is, to play every day, regardless of his injury. But that being said, I like I mentioned earlier, I do like him a lot better at first base because I'm sure that somewhere in the Detroit Tigers farm system they have a lot better talent at third base.
Oh, they do. Castellanos is going to come up next year. They already said that for now, but now they just need to kind of, they've saved a bunch of money and now they need to invest it in something that's actually worth investing and not another relief pitcher.
What do you think of them? And I know we talked about this briefly earlier, but Shin-Soo Choo.
Yeah, I think it's a perfect fit. I think it's going to be between them and Texas. Texas needs a left fielder. They need a left fielder. I think they'll definitely be bidding for those two. I think maybe you could see Cruz playing left field and then Choo going to the Rangers. But, you know, they'll be in on those players for sure. They need another left fielder.
What do you think a prospective deal is for Shin-Soo Choo? How much do you think he'll go for?
Oh, well, I guessed. I'll look it up right now. But I think I guessed around... Or $20 million a year for 6 years? Oh, I'll look it up right now. But,
And while he's doing that, I really like the fact that Detroit is trying to be better in the AL Central because, I mean, they have to compete now with the ever-improving Kansas City Royals. And as we're looking up this post right here, Johnny's prediction was Texas fills that empty spot in left field with Shin-Soo Choo at 6 years and $128 million. And I like that a lot. I think that he'd be a good fit there because, A, they need more power.
Yep, but of course, like we were mentioning with the Tigers, they need a left fielder too, so I think that's going to be a huge battle. And I think now with the Ellsbury deal, 153, he's going to get more than $128 million. I think maybe 6 years, you know, 135 maybe? I don't know. He's going to get a lot of money.
What do you think of the Blue Jays in that deal?
No,
think
no chance. I don't think they're going to invest a lot of money in anything except the pitching. They're just going to throw Melky Cabrera out there, and maybe we'll see. But you know, I think the Jays are going to spend most of their money on pitching this offseason.
I think they will too because they need to fill a role in their starting rotation because you know how bad it was last year.
They had Dickey, Burley. They're pretty solid. You don't know what you're going to get out of Morrow, and then you have two empty spots there. Maybe Stroman can come up, be a fifth starter. Hutchinson, but you need another Garza or Jimenez. You need to spend big money. Mm-hmm.
And going back to Shin-Soo Choo, I think he hit a few more home runs than Ellsbury last year. I have it right here. He hit 21 home runs with a .285 average. That's not bad. 54 RBIs, on base percentage, .423.
Yeah, that's a leadoff man every lineup.
Especially in a lineup like Texas. I mean, Elvis Andrus could probably take that leadoff spot, but he's a productive number two.
Yep.
Don't you think?
Yep. And then you can kind of slot Chu there, or maybe Detroit wants another leadoff batter. But
I mean, hey, Melky Cabrera for Shin-Soo Choo, even though he's a free agent, make it happen, Anthopoulos.
Yeah, well.
Make it happen.
We'll see.
Anyway, our last and final topic, or final two topics, I should say, former Boston Red Sox catcher Jared Saltalamacchia signs a 3-year, $21 million deal with the Miami Marlins.
Oh, boy. I don't know.
Why?
Well, he won a World Series last year. Maybe he's thinking, no, I won already. Get money and live in Miami for the rest of his career, maybe. I don't know. But
well, you have to think that with all these erratic signings that money would be the theme of this offseason.
Of course it is. It always is. And last year was kind of a breakout year for Saltalamacchia. .273, .338 on base.
And he will be joining a rather awful Miami team.
Yes.
But again, like I said with Brian McCann, he is fantastic at managing a pitching staff. Yep. And I think that will help with blossoming starter Jose Fernandez.
Yeah, and all the other young stars, Henderson Alvarez, a couple of the other young guys they have. But, you know, there's a lot less media attention to the Marlins than there is with the Red Sox.
Right.
Maybe he
can
live in Miami, you know, and he gets $21 million. I don't think there's much to complain about. He's done his winning, so won the World Series last year.
I mean, you could think that Miami was the only team that would offer him 3 years, because I know he wanted 3 years, but mm-hmm. Boston offered him 2 years at $15 million, I believe.
Something like that. I don't know if that's the exact number. But
so he wanted 3 years, yep. And his agent wanted 3 years. So Miami said, you know what, come over here. And I'm sure that he sees a little glimmer of hope or light at the end of the tunnel in the case of the Miami Marlins. But, I mean, we can't really speculate because we're Toronto Blue Jays fans and the Blue Jays are awful. But the Miami Marlins have the pieces, per se, but they can't put it together.
Like, well, they're all young, too. They have a very young outfield, very young pitching staff. Not much of an infield right now. But, you know, maybe in a couple of years, some of the young players will come up.
Maybe in a couple of years for the former Florida Marlins. The last topic that we'll be covering on this edition of MLB Point Forums podcast is fellow Canadian Justin Morneau signs a 2-year, $13 million deal with the Colorado Rockies.
I'll say, I wrote about this yesterday, I hate this deal. I don't think Morneau's good at all anymore, but I hope I'm wrong. I like the guy, former MVP, he's Canadian. I'm not going to say I said I hate the deal, but, you know, I like the guy, so maybe give him another chance. But if he wasn't Canadian, I'd really say I don't like the deal. He hasn't been the same since he got his concussion.
You know, I was going to say, do you think that has anything to do with his concussions?
Completely. I don't think he's been the same. He hasn't been the same player since then. He's not good defensively. Doesn't have the power anymore. But, you know, maybe in Colorado, you always seem to get a little more pop.
I think Colorado is going to continue making a splash.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, it's Colorado. I mean, no one really hears about Colorado.
They don't have anybody in the rotation. Maybe they'll trade. There's rumors that they may trade Tulowitzki or Carlos Gonzalez.
They won't trade Tulowitzki. Tulowitzki's going to ride out his career at the Colorado Rockies.
He has a long-term contract.
So. Absolutely right. Well, that's about does it for us in the great words of radio broadcasters Tim and Sid. You could have been anywhere in the world, but you chose to be here with us, and we appreciate it.
Make sure you check out our website. What's our website again?
Our website is, for the moment, mlbpointform.weebly.com. We're going to look into getting our own domain name eventually, but we need money for that. Mm-hmm. You can also, if you want, check us out on the Twitters at mlbpointform. You can follow myself at Alex Crocco and my friend next to me at Karasiotis61.
So Karasiotis. IOTIS.
We want to thank you again for tuning into us, and check us out again in about 3 weeks. Thanks so much.
fixed up. When you wake up, you're pretty enough. Look out your window at the cloud of dust. That's my headlights, that's my truck. So come on, baby, don't you keep me waiting. I gotta go, I gotta reservate.